February 5, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Juan okay. Pedro Show, happy Friday, first Friday of February. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point a couple miles south because we're still in quarantino mode. But I'm not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their righteous Skype invention. I got Lisa Cameron. Welcome aboard, Lisa. We started the show off with John Coltrane and Red Garland Trio doing Slow Dance. And then Lisa Cameron and Claire Russe with Horizon. Very, very big honor to have you on the show. Lisa, what's your earliest musical recollection, please?
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about that. I was listening to some other shows, and I heard you ask that question, so I did think about it. So in the 60s, I lived in Kansas in a little town called Winfield. And when in 1967, I think, they would have these concerts down at the local park, and people would just set up their amps and play. And I would go down to the park and listen to them. And at the time, I had just gotten a drum set. And so I'd go down there and listen to him. It was a big party every weekend. And actually, it was before acid was illegal. So everybody was doing acid legally at the time. Not me, of course. I was pretty young. But everybody else was. So it was some wild jams going on down there. And at the time, I was like really into Blue Cheer and that kind of music.
Sure.
And they would just jam for hours, and I remember the guitar player would get up on top of the roof of the thing and just stay up there for 3 hours tripping while it's just playing on top of the roof. And I just loved that sound that they had, and I started playing with those guys, you know, because I just went up and asked them, like, hey, you can I play with y'all? And like, what, you're like, what, I don't know, maybe it was 10, 11 years old. I don't even remember. But I was actually playing with these guys. I'd sit in, and that's how I got started.
Well, can I get a little before that? How did you get that drum set that you were talking about?
Yeah. Well, it was pretty weird because there wasn't a lot of options there. So, you know, I started out wanting to take music lessons, and I started out with a clarinet. And that didn't last very long. So there was this guy down the street, and he had a drum set, and he would practice to, like, Ventures records. And I'd sit outside of his house and just listen to him play, and I thought, I want to get a drum set. So I saved up all my money from my paper route, and I bought a, I put together this kind of Frankenstein set, and my dad actually figured out how to make a drum pedal for me, and I found a bass drum, which I still have, that these people, these hippies, they had made this mandala on this drum, and they were using it for a coffee table. But I was over at their house, and I said, would you want to sell that drum? Because I didn't have a drum, and it was like a 26-inch bass drum, a wooden bass drum, from like the 20s or something like that. And so they said, sure, okay. So I bought it for $10. So I had a bass drum, and then I found a used tom-tom somewhere, and I got a snare for Christmas one year. And that's how it all came together.
You pieced it all together. Can I ask you something about that Ventures? I remember more younger that there were certain Venture records, something called drum drops, where they made the record without the drummer. So you
wow.
can, if you were learning, you could play along with this shit.
Wow, I don't know. Maybe he had that, but
okay.
He just practiced a surf beat, and I was just totally into the drums.
Right.
I originally wanted to play violin, but my parents wouldn't. They said it was like too much to rent a violin, so they just said, well, you can play clarinet. And then I didn't like the clarinet at all, really. It just didn't feel right to me when I was that age.
Sure. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or choir or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in the marching band and, you know, band.
And what'd you play, drums?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I stayed in the marching band or the school band pretty much through high school.
Now, because you were like a field drum thing, did you learn how to do that traditional grip?
Well, actually, that's interesting you're asking me that, because lately I've actually been using the traditional grip and really enjoying it.
Whoa. Yeah, because people, I got to tell you, listeners out here, this kind of thing where one hand is holding a stick different than the other, it's because you used to sling the drum over your shoulder.
It wasn't right. You would be right there if it was like to the side, you know, and you'd be playing it exactly, you know, level. But now, you know, the jazz drummers, you know, that you just get more control that way because you have less distance to go between drums.
Sure. It seems more smart. So, what about the first record you bought with your own money, Lisa?
Oh yeah. Well, let's see. I think it was the first one that I bought was it was a 45 of Somebody to Love by the Jefferson Airplanes.
Great song. And
I just loved that because I like the feedback.
Yeah, great bass man, Jack Cassidy.
Oh, yeah. Man. He's great. I got to meet him one time.
Did you?
How? Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, I was in New York playing with this band called Brave Combo. And,
I remember that.
He was in a band called SVT.
That's right, kind of a new wave, yeah.
Yeah, we opened for them.
Okay. Did you guys have an accordion?
Yes.
That's right.
It was a crazy band.
Yeah, I remember now. My memory a little bit, but yeah, I remember. What about the first, and I guess the first gigs you went to was that stuff you saw in the park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My first gig that I saw, I was in sixth grade and I saw Steppenwolf.
Whoa. I saw them too back then.
They were so good.
John Kay.
Yeah. It was right at the Magic Carpet Ride.
Sure.
You know?
That's a great tune. Good organ sound and shit.
Oh, man. They were awesome. And my mom dropped me off at the place because you could do that back then. And she came back and got me. And I knew that, okay, well, things have changed for me tonight.
I want to play this stuff you gave. This is really good. Pig Boy from ST-37.
I'm gonna- way. Long, 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 long way. Long, long way from home.
year. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. Clown, clown, clown. You were very cute and I liked your humor. I was the guy who took your picture. The kids were my sisters, like to take you out to dinner. Like to take you out to dinner. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. Clown, clown, clown. You were very cute and I liked your humor. I was the guy who took your picture. The kids were my sisters, like to take you out to dinner. Like to take you out to dinner and more. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. Clown, clown, clown. You were very cute and I liked your humor. Interested. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. Clown on stilts at mall downtown. I am single, living midtown. Clown, clown, clown.
Yeah. Thank you.
going to out him or anything, but
it happens, people. What do they say? Karma whales, right?
People, exactly. That one, sure.
It's like a bank account. You either make your deposits or withdrawals.
Yeah.
People, that was ST37. Lisa's band.
Yeah, I played with them longer than any band, so I've been with them a long time, and it's a great band. Currently, we're, you know, plowing the flipper kind of sound, you know, with three guitars and just screeching noise and goes on and on, but it's just wonderful. I love that band, and everybody's easy to get along with, and we've done a bunch of tours. We toured with Acid Mother's Temple a couple of years ago, and this year we were supposed to go, and then the pandemic hit, so we didn't get to go.
Not canceled, just postponed. Let me tell the people what they just heard. Pig Boy, ST37. What does ST stand for?
Actually, that is a song by Chrome.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Helios.
Uh-huh. Yeah, big fans of his. And
yeah, me too. Mind Bomb. I remember, man, some good stuff out of there. And then we had something brand new from Malcolm Mooney, the first singer of Can with Abba Mendoza, Motherless Children. Right. And then Beneath the Ruins with Tomb Swimmer, that's brand new. Cool. Bowles Prendon out of D.C. area. Corpse Flower, Two Doors. These guys recorded like 3,000 songs and only did 5 gigs.
Wow.
Then a brand new out of Canada with the Kings, a song called Healer. Hands Rotten from Switzerland with Formila. Nighttime Watcher by Vanita Hill. These are some tunes put together from Craigslist. That's just some shit. Brand new from Basic Elements here in Cali. Scream for Love. And then finally, Giant Kid. This is you and Sandy Ewan?
Yeah, Sandy Ewan is a really amazing prepared guitarist. She plays table guitar and just...
Oh, who was that cat? Keith Rowe?
Yeah, she's played with him before.
Okay, and that band, it was like AAM or something?
AAM, yeah, they were a big influence on me.
You know what I read about them? I found out about them because I was reading Rob Chapman's book on Syd Barrett, and I guess they had a huge influence on him in 1966.
Oh, I don't doubt it. They were so good. I saw them here in Austin, and I was just completely changed. I'd never seen anything like that before.
So let's get back to your music journey. So you get this, your pop helps you make this drum set. You get this together. What about after school? The garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band. Did you do shit like that?
Yeah. Well, I did. I was in a band with a bunch of high school guys, and I was still in junior high. One time we played some really good stuff. We played like The Dead and, you know, just tunes like, God, what a, I mean, 67. We even did a version of Dark Star by The Dead. And one time we played at this bar in town. And they decided to take a chance and try and sneak me in. And the cops found out about it, and they shut the bar down.
Uh-oh. Now, did you guys write any of your own stuff?
Not really. I mean, I wasn't able to stay with them very long because, after that happened, they said, you know, well, we've got a gig.
Where did you go on your journey with your drums after that?
Came to Houston, Texas, and we moved from there. My dad, he had been making sails for sailboats in his garage, and he decided to move to Houston and really start a company of making sails. So we went down to Houston. And the first night I was there, my uncle took me out, and I went to a party, and there was a band. And I was all interested in getting into a band. So we moved to this town called Huffman, and I got with these guys, and a town. I forgot what it was called. It was just right outside of Houston on the outskirts. And I was playing with them, and we were doing, this is like maybe eighth grade in high school. And we were doing ZZ Top and stuff like that, you know, Francine and Rolling Stones and stuff like that. And we never played any shows, but I, you know, enjoyed playing with them. And then we moved again down to Clear Lake City, and I hooked up with these guys from Baltimore, and they were really into some cool music like Blue Oyster Cult. They turned me on to Blue Oyster Cult, which is a huge influence on me.
Me too. Love that band. Me too. The first records were really important to me and D-Boo.
Yeah, the first record is just like, well, it's one of my top 10 records.
I really like the second one too, Tyranny and Mutation.
The second one is awesome. I've been listening to all three of those, you know, the first three.
Right.
I've been listening to them a lot lately, and they really hold up. I mean, they hold up almost better than any of those albums from that time.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some brilliant stuff.
And they recorded Tyranny and Mutation good. It's got good punch and shit. Did you go to, like, a musical school, like college or stuff like that after?
I did. I tried going to music school, but I didn't have enough I wanted to play jazz. I got started listening to jazz, and I saw some really cool shows in Houston when I was in high school. I saw, like, Ross Ahn, Roland Kirk, and sure. I saw McCoy Tyner and Herbie Hancock. And, you know, there's this town called Denton. And,
sure, music town north of Dallas.
Yeah. So I went to North Texas State. And they have a great jazz program, but I couldn't read music, so I didn't last very long in that. So all I did was change to an English major because I couldn't pass my piano barrier. I didn't know how to read music that well. I mean, I knew a little bit, but I just switched to an English major and just jammed all the time with all these jazz musicians, and it was amazing. How much talent was coming out of that place?
Actually, Ornette had the Caravan of Dreams in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I never went there. I don't know why. I did go to the Bluebird a couple of times where he got thrown out of.
I remember I played at the school in Denton once, and I asked for some paper for a set list. And it had staffs on it, you know, like you're talking about, reading music. That's fucking fun. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. February 5, 2021 edition, Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Lisa Cameron. Hold tight for hour two. February 5, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show started off the second hour. Lisa Cameron, Damon Smith, Alex Cunningham. Ash is stiff with cold. And St. Louis is probably cold right now. I can't imagine. And the ashes are stiff. And I know Damon. I met Damon when he was just starting on the stand-up.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing. I've gotten to know him better and better. I'd see him play around here and just blew my mind. And, you know, somehow I got to know Alex Cunningham, who's an amazing violinist. I got to know him through a friend, Claire Rousse, and she plays with him a lot. And so we met, and ST37 was coming through there, and we jammed in A Town of Good. So we made a plan to record sometime, and then Damon moved to St. Louis. And we just thought, hey, let's just do this trio.
Okay. And Lisa's the one you did that tune, Horizon, we started off the show with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Claire. And she's great.
Claire Rousse.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she's an up. She's big right now. I mean, she's really getting a lot of attention, and she should, because she's an amazing percussionist.
He's bitching. Then we had Dr. Herman Green out of Memphis. We lost him back in November. But 89 mm-hmm. years. Yeah, great saxophone, man. The Beginning, Terry.
Yeah.
And something from brand new out of Berlin. But this guy's from Rome. Manlio Maresca. Emmanuel for Errors. Der Quintessenz di Mittelmassigkeit. As I slaughtered the German. Sorry. Das tut mir leid. And then finally, the Endless Instant. This also, yourself, Damon Smith, Alex Cunningham. So I guess it's part of the same session?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually never played together before we did that session. We just went in there and just played, and that's what came out. It was, came out a really good CD, and we'll do another one when we can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing about it. Sometimes no practice or anything. You just come together. Music's got that spirit.
I like to do that. I'm very hang ten, you know. Like,
what Bob Marsh said, jump from the pole. Jump from the pole. Yeah. So what happens after the Denton experience in English major stuff?
Oh, okay. Well, in Denton, I met my partner, Leanne, and joined I did the Brave Combo thing, and then I got a call. Well, actually, we were on the same booking agent as Rocky Erickson, and I was a huge 13th Floor Elevators fan.
Houston.
Yeah. Well, Austin. This is Austin.
Yeah, but Rocky started in Houston. I know he ended up going to the city and then back to Austin, right? But he started in Houston.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, you said ZZ. I know Billy Gibbons is from there. Lightning Hopkins. I mean, Houston was hopping music fucking town.
Oh, totally.
So, but anyway, back to your story. So you got the same agent as Rocky. You know, I'm a huge Rocky fan.
I know. I've seen you did Bermuda, and you even did Sweet Honey Pie. I thought that was awesome.
I put a bass solo in it.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, no, that was my dream gig, was playing with Rocky Erickson.
You know, and I got to meet him once. I got to only meet him once. He was coming right off the stage. I flew right in from a Stooges gig to Lollapalooza in Chicago, off the plane. I had to have the van take me right to the gig, and there's he's on the Game Boy stage, right? And he comes, I watch the gig, and it's fucking bitching, right? Because I hadn't seen him play in many years.
Oh, yeah.
And his brother got him, Sumner got him back together, and Henry bought him some new teeth and shit like that. And anyway, comes off the stage, and I shake his hand. I go, much respect, Mr. Erickson. He goes, it's good to see you again. I've never met him in my life.
He may have known you from a previous life, and you just
don't
remember.
That's it. I mean, he looked me square in the eye and said that, man.
Yeah, it's so weird how I would see him, like after I left the band, we only had that band together for 2 months, but I did 2 records and like 5 shows in Austin, and it was just magical.
You know, sometimes his bands had a name. Did this band have a name?
Yeah, this one was the first Evil Hook Wildlife E.T. band.
Okay, that's the name. Because one of them was like Alien Blibe, and one was...
Alien Blibe, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. One was Explosions, and one was the Aliens. You know, he had different things, I know.
He had one called the Resurrectionist, too.
Right, right. Look, I got something here that you gave me. Venison World.
Yeah.
Okay. A tune called Elena. Let's listen.
Okay.
We see them quite often, standing there in the rain, lost in time, oh, drenched in this place, the denizens of the street, walking wounded or insane. You only see them when you're passing through. All of them appearing like ghosts out here. The faces on Pacific Avenue. Where there all the familiar faces. Strangers we see every day, standing down here where the buses all come to stop, like the old Filipino men in straw hats who used to stand at Ethel's donut shop. All these Croatians, Mexicans, even Salvadorians, this drive for walk, all cast out here like immigrants, along this cement shore, all standing round with their hands in their pockets, so they got nothing left to do. They're just more ghosts out here, the faces on Pacific Avenue. Streets of wonder, every tattooed sailor of the world, they all come looking for something like love from a streetwalker or two. Oh, but the old horse just get ugly, wrinkled and fade into this gray harbor night. There's one who looks like Tina Turner, oh man, oh, she's just struck her stuff just for you. Dressed in lavender, lace, and blue. Just one more ghost out here. Their faces on Pacific Avenue. Comes a long time Larry, his friend Crazy Frank. There's the pointer and oh, the yellow man too, along with the greats like Shanghai Red or Freddy the Hat Who. Either living or dead, you know they're legends for sure. They're just ghosts out here. The faces on Pacific Avenue. Sometimes I look out over my shoulder, see the trash trucks like banshees come, see the young or the hip or the homeless or a group, a gang of wannabes start to run. Pass an old crippled man down on 12th Street, standing there with a vacant stare and worn out shoes. He's standing at this crosswalk, and all just wondering which way he's gonna lose. But you know they are all dying to be ghosts out here too. More faces on Pacific Avenue. So gather round me, friends. Listen to what I have to say. Price for living too close to these streets, one you deny you ever have to pay. Oh, you aren't too careful if you watch out what you do. You find that white horse of death, you know me chasing after you. Might be an incense salesman, somebody trying to shine your shoes. If you don't look out, there's a fate set for you. Now you may become another apparition. Oh, faces on Pacific Avenue. Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show. Started off that chart music with Elena with Venison World, then Dale Crover, his new, here's where a drummer gets to make a solo record, right? They could do that. The Bowie Mix. And then James Allen out of, he lives in Pedro, Faces on Pacific Avenue is like our number two. It's an older street, but parallels the main drag, Gaffey. And then finally, LSJ with Video Pirate. So tell us about Venison World.
Venison World, yeah. Well, that's my solo experimental project. And I started doing amplified snare drums where I put a contact mic in a snare drum and then run it through, a big amplifier and get all kinds of crazy feedback. And I just started doing that for a long time. And, these noise shows started coming up. There were these bands, like Wolf Eyes and stuff. And
sure.
I thought, well, maybe they would like, my bedroom experiments, like that. And, it fit right in.
And how'd you get the name? How did you get the name, the prog name?
Oh, that's funny. I was in a band with ST37, and we were going somewhere to Oklahoma or something, play a gig, and I saw this sign, and it said Venison World, and it had like
And people, we ain't saying WORLD. We're talking WHIRLED, like twirl.
So that place is a rendering place in Texas. But I was reading a lot about Kabbalah and stuff at the time, and I was thinking, let's reverse this and instead of Venice, world of venison back into real life.
Yeah, okay. And LSJ?
LSJ is Lisa, Sean, and Josh. That's LSJ. Sean McMillan and Josh Ronson, and we did this crazy stuff where we recorded something and we made it sound terrible on purpose and put it on top of that, but we played it back while we were recording, and we just kept doing that, and then so we got this weird sound, of all these like ghost
kind of layers.
Background.
Like layers on layers?
Yeah, layers.
Yeah, right.
And so we did a whole cassette that was called Misty Nights. And that's from that.
And so kind of infrequent prods or did turn into like doing gig kind of thing?
We did a couple of gigs. Yeah, they were really good.
Oh, well. And did you start that prod?
Yes.
Man, I love this idea. People think that drummers aren't motivators. Bullshit.
Oh.
Bull fucking shit. Chico Hamilton had trouble getting songwriting credits in the 60s.
Oh, wow.
Talking about jazz. Yeah, jazz. Drummers can't write songs because I guess the notes are too short.
Wow. I've written a bunch of songs, so.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit. Believe me. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. February 5, 2021, edition Wop Pedro Show special guest, Lisa Cameron. Hold tight for hour three. February 5, 2021, it's the third hour of the Wop Pedro Show.
hang out in coffee shops, and, you know, we had grand plans.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We started the third hour off with Lisa Cameron and Ernesto Diaz Infante with Watery Water. Then another Umbrella with Hide Behind Clouds. The Sex Stains with Write Out Manifestos. David Gerard and Herman Rudolph with Rocket Science. And Suspirians Airport Boulevard. First, let me ask you, Lisa, about Ernesto, this project.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is this about?
Oh, he's amazing. He's this guy who lives in San Francisco, and I was on a show with him, or actually, I was on this label called Kendra Steiner Editions. This guy, Bill Shute, had a label for a long time, and he played me this recording he did of Ernesto Diaz Infante, and I just thought right off the bat, I want to play with that guy. So I told Bill, I said, if you're going to do any shows with him here, I definitely want to be on it. So he set one up, and then I ended up going out to his house at in San Francisco and recording, and we've recorded several times now, and I'm working on the fourth thing right now. But that's from a tape, or it's going to be a tape called Water is Life. And he plays this style of guitar that he calls mantra strumming, which is very repetitive. But he also does other things too. But I don't know, we just really hit it off, and we've recorded a bunch, and every time we do, it just gets further and further out.
Oh, man. Well, I think this is really happening. And Suspirians?
Yeah, Suspirians is another band I'm in now, kind of, because of the pandemic, but we still play. And it's Marissa Pools on guitar, and Stephanie Demopoulos is on bass. And we're like a punk psych noise kind of trio where we just play, you know, sometimes we'll just jam, sometimes we'll play songs, you know, kind of like that song that I gave you. I thought it sounded a little bit like the Slits maybe, but it's a, you know, just a fun band, you know, all female band, and we done a couple of tours and, you know, stuff like that.
I got to see the Slits at the Whiskey, but they didn't have Budgie, the guy who made the record. They had Bruce Smith from the pop group on the drums.
And they were, whoa, really?
Yeah, he was really fucking good.
Yeah. I'll bet.
You know, the first stuff I heard you play on and knew it was you was this Ganges Land. And you gave me this tune, Leg Brain, I want to play next, okay? Leg Brain.
Thank you.
we go. Wofford Pedro Show, last music for this edition. That was Leg Brain from Kanji's Land. And Aruba Avua Alua Povora. This is the band you were part of, Rocky Erickson and Evil Hook Wildlife E.T. And, of course, Velvet Underground Heroin. I saw him do that at the Whiskey. And he was wearing, and this was like 1980, and the urinals had changed their name to 100 Flowers, and they opened up. And he was wearing like kind of a captain's hat, like if he had a yacht or some shit. And he did such a good version of this tune, and I love the way he turns the words around. It ain't loose words. He goes, I am a hero, and she is my heroine.
Oh, yeah.
That's so clever. That fucking bitch. But tell me about Ganji Land, because, you know, Raquel gave me this album that you guys did, and I played the whole fucking thing on the show. I loved it.
I saw that you did. I appreciate that. I wish more people would be interested in it. I've tried and tried to get people to listen to it.
But how did it come about?
Oh, well, she was living here. She was my roommate for a while, and I just loved her. The minute I saw her play, I was like, oh, my God, I've got to play with her. And it happened, and she was living in New York at the time, and then she decided to move to Austin and buy a house, and so she needed a place to stay, so she just came over here, and we would sit around and listen to records and just laugh. I mean, she's hilarious, and we would just laugh all day and listen to records, and we started playing shows together where we would just kind of just do it, and Ganji Island was the name of the project where we just recorded in my living room on a four track. And, that's basically, it sounds really rough and everything, but I think it really has its own like planetary feel, you know, like it's its own planet or something like that.
Cause she's in this Galaxy now. These cats made like 8-9 albums when this COVID-19 thing hit.
Yeah, they're busy over there.
They're out in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, I'm going to come out there sometime this year when it's safe and record another Ganji Island with her.
Okay.
So
So that's part of your plan. Are you right now, are you using the internet to trade files or do stuff like that?
Oh, kind of. You know, I've been busy working lately, but I'm trying to get my Bandcamp stuff going, and so far I only have three things, but I've got a ton of stuff to put up there. I just haven't done it yet. I've just been busy.
And the main place where people can find you on the internet is at your Bandcamp page?
Yeah, I'm working on a website, too. I'm just not very good with...
Okay, what is the name of the Bandcamp site?
Oh, it's Lisa Cameron, Sister Skull Records.
Okay, there's a lot of letters there, people.
Or you can just look up Sister Skull.
School.
Skull.
S-K-U-L-L.
Yeah, that was the name of my dog, and I named my record company after it.
Okay, that's a good reason. That's a good fucking reason. And
that dog was a Hickoids dog.
Oh, Jeff Smith.
Yeah.
He's in San Antonio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to stay with him. He did some gigs. I know he spent some time in Austin, and he puts on that Austin Corn Lover Festival.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right, right. I got to do that one year with him. And he's got all kinds of bands, right, all kinds of projects, and a great label called Sawstex.
Yeah, Sawstex, right.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff. Look, I love the idea of a drummer, man. Being an instigator in music projects. What advice would you give to somebody young getting into drums?
Oh, I would say just get some drums and start playing them. just kind of work on a simple beat, you know, like find something that you like that, you know, I like to start out with like blues or R&B or, Rolling Stones or something, you know, that's pretty, you know, solid. And then you just kind of get some headphones and play along with it.
Charlie Watts.
Yeah, totally. Charlie Watts is very solid, you know, drummer.
And, you know, on the side he has a jazz band, right?
Yeah.
In fact, me and Pettibone, we saw, the last time we saw Elvin Jones, Charlie Watts was at the gig. He was wearing three overcoats.
Really?
And
wow.
I wouldn't shit you. And with him was Les McCann. Les McCann was in a wheelchair.
Whoa.
And Les McCann was cussing at Elvin the whole gig. Come on, Elvin, you motherfucker. And Elvin was laughing and shit, playing his heart out. Oh, yeah, it was a trip. And Charlie was laughing, you know, Les McCann, like in the front row heckling in the wheelchair. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was something else.
Great.
So you say learn by doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Do it. Just do it and get out there and do it, you know, and don't worry about if it sounds good, you know, just play.
Sure.
Get together with somebody in the garage or something like that and do it.
Well, that's great advice.
Thanks.
And, look, you got, I know stuff coming up, and when you get it out, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it, Lisa?
Oh, sure. That'd be great. I would be glad to.
Okay.
I do have a bunch of stuff coming up. I got another thing with, actually the thing that I did with, that I sent you with Sandy.
Yeah.
That's coming out in April on Astral Spirits. It's called Sea Creatures.
Okay.
Sea Creatures 2.
Giant Kid.
Okay. Yeah. And that's a weird one because, well, I was like, I had one of those handheld tape recorders, and I was using the content, I was playing it on the head of a bass drum and, doing, you know, scratching around on it, you know, with a contact mic at the same time. And then she's doing all her stuff, which is, she's super magical too. I mean, she does, she never plays a note. And everything that I played with her in Sea Creatures, that's our second, that'll be our second release.
Yeah.
Everything that I played with her was done on this thing that I made called a Baron Bawa phone. And it's made out of a box, and then I put a Baron Bawa bow on top of it, and I put some wires up there to hold it on there. So the box is like a resonator. And then I can clamp contact mics onto it and run it through a mixer and do all kinds of crazy sounds with feedback.
Wow.
And I did two whole projects with her just playing that. And that one that I gave you.
Yeah.
That one is the one where I didn't really play that on that song.
Okay.
When I get the tape, I'll send you one.
Please, I'd love to play that on the show. And thank you so much for being on this time. I can't wait till you're back.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Good luck with everything, okay?
Absolutely. People, it's been the February 5, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.